This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
I'd like to welcome you all here the fourth Sunday after Epiphany. It is our tradition on the fifth Sunday of the month that's not a festival. We'll sing the ancient prayer service of Matins. We'll begin on page 3 with the opening hymn, followed by the confession of sins. Let us rise. By my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Wherefore I pray God Almighty to have mercy on me, forgive me all my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. Forgiveness and remission of all your sins. Amen. Let us pray. The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany is from Jeremiah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a youth.' For to all to whom I will send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. The Lord said to me, "Behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." This is the word of the Lord. The epistles from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13. "I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his words possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent, and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed, and said to one another, what is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had been injured or sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, you are the Son of God. But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people saw him and came to him. And he would have kept him from leaving them, but he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
This time the big people can be seated. We invite the youngsters of the congregation and visitors to come forward for children.
How would you show love to a baby? about love. And it wasn't a romantic love letter he wrote them. He talked about what love was and how important it is. He said, love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, is not rude, visits self-seeking, love is not easily angered, love keeps the record of wrongs, love does not delight in evil but rejoices in the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And as Christians, we are called to love one another, to love everybody, actually. And sometimes, I like to read through this list and substitute what my name is for what love is. So I'll read through the list again, and I'll think to myself, how am I doing with this? Mrs. Bulwark is patient. Mrs. Bulwark is kind. Mrs. Bulwark does not envy. She does not boast. She is not proud. She is not rude. She is not self-seeking. That means I'm only looking out for myself. Mrs. Bulwark is not easily angered. Mrs. Bulwark keeps no record of wrongs. That means they don't keep everything that someone did hold it against them. Mrs. Bulwark does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. She always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres, which means always keeps going. Now, if I'm honest with myself, when I read through that list and I see those statements, I don't always follow them. I don't know about you, but I am not always patient. I am not always kind. And I sometimes can get very angry very easily. And those things are, doing those things is not what love is. But in fact, the only one that can do all of that list and love is perfectly, patiently, selflessly, kindly, all the time, always, is God. And Paul says in this letter that love never fails. It never ends. Love is something that lasts forever. And God loved the world so much. God loved the world that he gave his only son. And whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Yeah, share it with you. And if God didn't love us, that sacrifice would not happen. He did that out of love. And it doesn't run out. It lasts forever. Beyond everything, there is love. And it's a nice thing to know about when I'm sad and when I'm lonely, to know just how much I am loved. And so can we try and show love to one another today? I know we don't have that perfect love that God shows for us, but we are still called to love and be patient and kind and slow to anger. All right, let's pray. Please repeat after me. Dear Lord, it's hard to understand how much you love us. Thank you for loving us. Always and forever. Help us love one another the way you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a little treat for you, something that sometimes people give on Valentine's Day.
We continue with the sermon hymn, Son of God, Eternal Savior, on page 9.
Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Love is in the air this time of year. As you peruse the aisles of the supermarket or the discount store, you will be bombarded with a sea of red heart-shaped boxes of chocolates, along with an endless variety of Valentine's Day cards and gifts with so much emphasis on love. The Bible speaks a lot about love. The five-word summary of the Ten Commandments is love God, love your neighbor. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And in 1 John 4, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. It all comes down to love. Love is a word that we use so much, and it can mean so many different things, that I fear it can almost become meaningless. What is love? In our epistle reading today, St. Paul clarifies what love is. 1 Corinthians 13 is a popular text at weddings, and that makes sense because weddings are about love, but the text is not about marriage. It's about living together as the church, as the body of Christ. I love pepperoni pizza. Now, what does that mean? I really enjoy the taste of pepperoni pizza. I really enjoy eating it. Me loving pepperoni pizza is all about what pizza does for me, how pizza makes me feel. Love is a feeling I get when I eat pizza. But that's confusing, because real love is not about how someone makes you feel. Real love is what you do for someone. Far too often, we think of love as a noun, as a feeling. I'm in love. I have the feeling of love. This other person makes me feel this way. But true love is not a noun. True love is a verb. It's a choice. It's an action. Saying I love you is a commitment to action. Love is what you do. You love your spouse in your actions. You love your children in what you do. You love your neighbor by serving them. This doesn't mean you don't tell your spouse or children or others that you love them. Of course you tell them. But saying I love you is not just words. It's a commitment to action. As a baptized child of God, you live in the pure love of God flowing to you through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus shows you his love by serving you in the ultimate sacrifice of his body on the cross for you. Jesus shows his love for you by giving everything for you. Jesus loves you so much, he takes your sin and gives you his holiness. Jesus declares you to be a saint. The church is the gathering of the saints in Christ. You are a saint of God, but you are at the same time still infected with original sin. And because of sin, you can start to believe you're better than others. There's a great temptation to believe that some folks in church are more important than others. You can start to believe that you are more vital than that other person who doesn't seem to know as much or care as much or do as much as you. Paul's writing to the church in Corinth. The church in Corinth is full of people with spiritual gifts. Over the last couple of weeks, we've read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about their spiritual gifts and about how the church is a body made up of many and various parts. In our lesson today from 1 Corinthians 13, Paul puts these spiritual gifts in context. Spiritual gifts are good, but but they are temporary and they are incomplete. They are good, but they are not excellent. He says, but earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and I deliver my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Spiritual gifts without love are nothing. What is love? Paul tells us what love is and tells us what love is not. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love is patient. Patience. Why did it have to be patience? Love remains calm even when the stresses of life are piling up. Love drives the car gently and safely even when running late. Love pauses and counts to three so as to not yell at the kids. Love thinks before speaking or texting or posting. Love does not take the strain of life out on others. Love is kind. Love helps others without being asked. Love takes out the garbage. Love empties the dishwasher and folds the laundry. Love cooks dinner. Love does the dishes. Love puts the shopping cart back in the cart corral. Love is patient. Love is kind. That's what love is. What is love not? Love does not envy or boast. Love rejoices with another's success, does not need to one-up someone else. Love is humble. Love does not brag. Love is not arrogant or rude. It's very easy to develop an attitude of superiority that looks down on others. You can start to think that you're better than that other person over there. You can fall into the bad habit of saying things like, well, I might be a sinner, but at least I'm not as bad as that guy or those people. Love does not climb up on a pedestal to look down on others. Love knows we are all sinners who need Jesus. Love does not insist on its own way. Love does not think that it's my way or the highway. Love listens to others' ideas and suggestions and allows others to take charge of things, even if their way is different. Love is not irritable or resentful. Love does not get offended easily. In our world where "that offends me" is the constant cry of so many, love chooses its battles wisely and does not resent every possible offense that occurs. Love does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Our world too often celebrates sin. There's an avalanche of music and movies and TikTok videos where people brag about their sin. They glory in their immorality. People throw conferences and festivals and parades to celebrate wrongdoing. Love does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Love rejoices with the truth. Love uses God's biblical truth to be the guide for life instead of using feelings to show the way. Love teaches God's truth to others around them. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This translation can be a little misleading. It sounds like love blindly believes anything. A better translation is that love is without limits. Love supports without limits, trusts without limits, hopes without limits, never gives up. This is the love that you are called to. It is a perfect love. It is God's love. This is the love that you will have perfectly for others on the last day in the heavenly kingdom of New Jerusalem. You'll perfectly love and you will be perfectly loved. This is the love that you will struggle to achieve in this life. This is the love you will never achieve in this life. But this is the love that has already been completed in you, in Jesus' love for you. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. It is hard to be a Christian in this world. You cannot fully see the pure love Jesus has for you. You cannot purely love others like Jesus loves you. Love anyway. In your love for each other, you see the shadow of the pure love that is coming on the last day. In your love for each other, you get a glimpse of the Lord's love for you. So for now, waiting for Jesus to return, live each day in Jesus' love for you, and let that love flow out from you to those around you. Love never ends. So let's do an aspirational repeat after me, knowing that you are called to love like Jesus. So repeat after me. I am patient and kind. I do not envy or boast. I am not arrogant or rude. I do not insist on my own way. I am not irritable or resentful. I do not rejoice at wrongdoing. I rejoice with the truth. I support without limits. I trust without limits. I hope without limits. I never give up. Love is a tricky word. It really does not mean what we think it means. Love is not about your feelings and how someone or something makes you feel. Love is about what God does for you in Jesus. And love is what you do for others in response. Love God by loving your neighbor because Jesus first loves you. Tell each other that you love them and then live out that love. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise to sing the Te Deum.
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The prayers today are Rebecca Cross with U.S. cancer, Sally Martin recovering in South Carolina from pneumonia, Ruth DePlaja, Priscilla Plunkett's mother recovering from surgery, for Michael Ballinger, Cindy Hosmer's son, who's tested positive for COVID, for Doug Vaughn, Ken Freeman's brother, recovering from surgery and awaiting a diagnosis, for Pat Moore, friend of Ruth Selmayr's, needs a good diagnosis because of severe back pain, for Anna, friend of Penrose Baker's, a 17-year-old who has a brain tumor and undergoing cancer treatments, and for the family of Dale Yonger, the first who died on Tuesday. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those afflicted by the demonic and every force of darkness, whether open or hidden, that they would be released by Christ, whom even the demons obey. For our brethren throughout the world who suffer for Christ's sake, that they may have courage, faith, peace, and relief. And for God's children everywhere, that he would hold them in his care. Let us pray to the Lord. For the holy ministry that Christ, who taught with authority, may be at work now to forgive sins, strengthen faith, and empower lives and good works, that the people of this world would see his love in us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the forgiveness of sins, especially those false acts that cannot pass for real love, that God would enable us to reflect his love, which is patient and kind, is not envy or boast, is not arrogant or rude, and does not insist on its own way. And then his Spirit will fill our lives with good works that truly care for others. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For parents, as they raise their children, that God will give every father and mother zeal that points constantly to his ways and his forgiveness. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For children, that they may be filled with obedience, respect, and love for their parents. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our nation and its governors and leaders, that God will preserve them, and for confidence that comes from the word of our Lord's mouth, which stands over nations and over kingdoms, that we may not be dismayed as citizens in this world or as citizens of his eternal kingdom. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the afflicted, especially Becky, Sally, Ruth, Michael, Doug, Pat, and Anna, that the Lord would not forget them, but arise to hear their desires and strengthen their hearts. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In thanksgiving for Dale and all who have lived and died with faith in Christ and now rest in his presence, and for all of those that we pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our deeds, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Let us bless the
shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you